Bismillah. Surah Al-Buruj takes us back in the history of the da'wah. Takes us back in the history of the people who are calling to La ilaha illallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us a story. You may know the story of the boy and the king. It's narrated in Sahih Muslim. And basically, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that there was a boy who was a very intelligent boy. And so the king found his magician, and they would use the magicians to suppress and hold control of the people. He was getting very old, so he said, find yourself a boy to teach him your magic. And so this boy was brought, and on the way to go to the magician, the boy found a priest, or someone who was knowledgeable of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time. And so he was learning from him at the same time that he was learning from the magician. And then, I'm not going into the details of the story, there came a time where the boy had to choose between the two, that there was a beast in the road, and then he took a rock, and then he said, today I'm going to find out, you know, who's telling the truth. And so he said, in the name of Allah, and he threw the rock, and the beast was destroyed because of that. And so then the boy realized that the priest was the one on the truth, and so when the priest found out about this, he said that now the testing will begin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, as people started learning more about the boy, and then he was healing people by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the fitness would start coming. And so someone very close to the king had blind. He was blind, and he came to the boy and said, heal me. And the boy said, I don't heal anybody. It's only by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you accept Allah, then I'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal you. And so the man agreed, and then the boy made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His eyesight came back. The king found out that this guy had his eyesight regained, so he said that, what happened? You know, and then he gave information about the boy gave information about the priest. And so, the king tortured, and how often they wished to bring in their false belief with physical punishment. They tortured that right-hand man to recant his faith. He wouldn't until he was killed. And then they brought the priest to recant his faith, and he wouldn't until he was killed. But the boy, the king wanted to make a special lesson out of him. And so he told the people, the guards, to take him up to a high mountain, and if he doesn't recant his faith, then throw him off the mountain, giving him time to do that, and if he doesn't, then he has a wretched death waiting for him. And so as the boy was climbing, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, help me, and save me from these people in a way that you wish. Allah Azza wa Jal caused the mountain to shake. Everyone fell off except the boy. The boy walked back to the king. And so the king was shocked, but then he grabbed some more soldiers and he told them, take him out into the sea. Take him out to the sea, and if he doesn't recant his faith, then throw him into the water and drown him. And so as he went out into the water, he made the same dua, O Allah, protect me as you wish. And there was a storm on the water, and all of the people fell out of the boat. The boy came back to the king. And he said to him, look, there's only one way that you can kill him. And now word was getting out, the boy isn't dead yet, and the king can't kill him. So he said, this is how you can kill me. If you gather everybody in the town, so everybody can see, and then you take an arrow, you say, in the name of the Lord of this boy, and you throw it, you shoot me, you'll kill me. So the boy, the king, he did this and he agreed. He gathered everybody. He brought, you know, the arrow, pinned him up. And then he said, in the name of the Lord of this boy, and then he threw the arrow. And if you heard that story for the first time, or you may have seen the cartoon movie or something like that, you may have been thinking that the boy was going to be saved, right? You may have thought like, oh, the arrow's gonna, because we always used to, you know, happy endings in the end. You may have thought that the arrow was going to bypass him, or he's wearing a bulletproof vest or something like that. The arrow went through the heart of the boy. He fell to the ground, shaheed. And then the whole, because of his death, the entire nation stood up with La ilaha illallah. And that, in fact, was his victory. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his death, had caused the life of the entire people. And then the king began digging up al-ukhdud, the ditches, lighting them with fire, and burning these people who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, burning them alive. And the people watched as their mates and their village people were being killed for saying that there was no God except Allah. And this is from Surah Al-Buruj.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إذ هم عليها قعود وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء شهيد إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ذلك الفوز الكبير إن بطش ربك لشديد إنه هو يبدئ ويعيد وهو الغفور الودود ذو العرش المجيد فحال لما يريد هل أتاك حديث الجنود فرعون وثمود بل الذين كفروا في تكذيب والله من ورائهم محيط بل هو قرآن مجيد في لوح محفوظ
بسم الله. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, and in fact it's a warning of those who choose to test the believers and choose to punish the believers in this dunya. And you'll see in this surah that just like these people, they chose the path of punishing the believers with fire, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, it's fire. And that nobody punishes with fire except the Lord of the fire. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يعذب بالنار إلا رب النار. That no one punishes with fire except the Lord of the fire. And so in fact, when a parent, they want to punish their child, they should never take a match and, you know, stick it on the person, the child's finger. Sometimes you'll see parents that do that, make and close the hand on a match or something like that, or to burn the child, and that's haram. In the surah also from verse 12 to 16, we're getting to inshaAllah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us about His power, Azza wa Jal, and how no tyrant shall escape. No one shall escape if they choose this path. There's no escape for them. And then the surah ends with the example of Fir'aun, example of Thamud, and again we see their examples coming, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. And just like He destroyed them, that He has the ability, Azza wa Jal, to destroy those people who would take their path. And in the end, we get a message of the prevailing of the truth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought. So beginning from the surah, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by testifying to السَّمَاء, by the heavens. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies by the heavens and the stars and its vastness, again it's drawing the person to contemplate. And I just want to remind you over here again that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does the qasam, that number one, it shows us the nobility and the exalted or the loftiness of that thing that's being testified by. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says was sama'i, then we know that this is an enormous creation. Number two, we also realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to make us pay attention to what He's testifying to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testifying for a reason, so then the person looks to that reason. And number three, that also shows us the enormity of the issue that's being testified to. Speaking about the stars, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to testify by the buruj here, and the buruj in Arabic is means a castle. And even words like this, because I'm not into astronomy and so on, they have, I'm sure, deeper meanings for those people of this science. And you'll see that the Qur'an, it calls the people in different ways. And you'll notice even in this surah, there may be ayat that speak about history. Other ayat that speak about science. A third group of ayat that speak about logical arguments. And you almost as if you're going through maybe George Mason University through the different faculties. And this person's in science, and this person's in history, and this person's in, you know, computers, I don't know. And then it's almost as if those different minds have something in the Quran to pull them into and start to contemplate these things. So astronomy is not my field, so I'll leave it to those people, inshallah. Abu Qatada, radiallahu anhu, he said concerning the stars, because a lot of people, even in those days, they would try to find inner meanings and hidden meanings in the stars. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the stars for three purposes. Number one, as a decoration for the heaven. Number one, decoration. So number two, as missiles to hit the devils. So number two, missiles, meaning that if a devil was to go up there trying to hear knowledge of the unseen or news of the unseen, that these stars would shoot out in defense. And number three, he said, as signs to guide travelers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ. Now with the stars, or they're guided by the stars. So when they would be in the dark of night, they would be able to look up into the sky and they would know which direction they could go because of the stars. They knew that was north, that was south, that was east. And they were very well attuned to their surroundings. And so he continues, Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, and he said that if anybody tries to find a different interpretation in the stars, he's mistaken, and he's just wasting his efforts and troubles himself with what is beyond his limited knowledge. That he's just wasting his time, and it's beyond any of his knowledge to think that the stars have some other meaning other than these three things. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ, and by the promised day. And so the meaning there, it says, in brackets it says, the day of resurrection. وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ is the day which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised. Remember when we said about saying sadaqallah, it's verses like this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that this day will happen. And it's not any human being that's promising, it's Allah azza wa jal. And Allah azza wa jal is testifying by this promised day, that indeed, the Lord of the universe is saying that it's going to happen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies, وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, and it says the witnessing day, shahid is a witness, and mashhud is something being witnessed. And then there's actually 10 different opinions or more concerning what is the shahid and what mashhud. Of the opinions that I find are the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifying by the prophets here, shahid, meaning that the prophet being a witness against his people, mashhud, are those nations that the prophets were sent to. And you have here in the brackets also a different interpretation there from the books of tafsir. In verse 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ, that indeed, قُتِلَ, and if you know the Arabic, قَتَلَ means what? He killed. قُتِلَ means killed. And as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, that every قُتِلَ in the Quran comes with the meaning of لُعِنَ, meaning cursed. So cursed and destroyed are those people who tortured the believers in the ditch, that they are destroyed. Now, if a human being was to say qutila, or sorry, lu'ina, like cursed, in their sense, they're cursing someone. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it, says qutila, it's a statement of reality, meaning that they are cursed. they are cursed. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in no need of making dua against anyone. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says qutila, that means they are destroyed. Qutila ashabul ukhdud. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even at the beginning of the surah, we started Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, or the merciful, the compassionate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. And so when Allah azza wa jalla says about a certain people that they are destroyed and cursed, that shows how wretched those people are. Qutila ashabul ukhdud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa huwa arhamur rahimin, would say that these people are cursed and destroyed, that they've gone beyond, and their transgression went beyond the bounds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and fell into the anger of Allah azza wa jalla. Qutila ashabul ukhdud. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even it's not mentioning names, it's the people. And like the lesson that we learned there, is that these issues apply to anybody who chooses to punish the believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say John Doe is cursed. But here you see that Ashab al-Ukhdud are the cursed ones and the destroyed. The Ukhdud are the pits or the ditches. And that was the ditches that they with their own hands they dug in order to ignite a fire that would burn the believers in the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "An-nari dhat al-waqood," an explanation of those pits. "An-nari dhat al-waqood." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 6, "Idh hum 'alayha qu'ud." And in verse 7, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Idh hum 'alayha qu'ud," meaning that they were sitting there, sitting by the fire, "wa hum 'ala ma yaf'alun," and they were with what was happening bil mu'mineen to the believers, shuhud. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ shuhud. Meaning that the people who were sitting there, it's not that the punishment was happening behind closed quarters or behind closed doors. The punishment was public. And the torture was public. So any believer who said, who believed in La ilaha illallah, believed that there was no God but Allah, they actually saw and with their eyes saw the punishment that would happen to them. Which shows the intensification of how much they were holding on to this La ilaha illallah, that there's no God but Allah. And so that didn't even hold them back from admitting that they were believers in the Lord of the universe, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the end of the story, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that as they were doing this, questioning people if they believed in the Lord of the boy, and if they did, they would be burnt alive. And everybody watched them being burnt alive. And so a woman came forward and she had a nursing baby with her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when they came forward, she stepped back. Because of her mercy for the child, she didn't want to go forward into something that would bring that child to harm. And then the boy had said to her, that, "Oh mother, go forward because you're on the truth." And so she went forward and she and her baby were burnt alive because they believed in no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a question may come up right there. Someone may ask, well, couldn't they just, for the sake of saving themselves, admit what the king wanted and just say that, yes, there is more than one God? What we learn from this story and other examples of the Sahaba, such as Bilal radiallahu anhu and other companions, that and who went to the point of death and they wouldn't recant their faith, is that it's not obligatory for a person to do that. It's not obligatory for a person to, if someone's torturing them, to admit some other faith. It's not fard that they do that to save themselves. It's permissible that if the person chooses the path of taking the torture and dying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of what happened, that's in their hands. And they have that choice to choose. In fact, when the companions, those who did recant their faith just in words, they came and they felt that they had been destroyed because of what they had said. And the sadness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِهَ, except those who were forced, وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ, and his heart is firm and with iman. But it just shows the severity. It wasn't just easily that they would say, "Oh yeah, I'm not a Muslim and I believe in these idols." They would get to the point of intense torture before some of them would choose that path or others would be punished. And we have many examples of those who didn't. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that there were people that came before, when the companions asked him, won't you make dua, curse these people, and salvation will be for all of us. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that people came before and they were ripped, their skin was pulled from their meat, pulled from their bones with combs of iron. But that would not push them to the point where they would recant their faith. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ, but you are hasty. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, even in verse 7, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ. So not only are they witnessing the deaths and the murders of the believers, but at the same time, they couldn't do anything about it. Meaning that a believer would come, he would see another believer being burnt alive, and they themselves would have no power to save that believer. وَهُمْ عَلَى مَا يَفْعَلُونَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ شُهُودٌ, which increases in their pain and their sorrow even before their own death to come. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this just shows like the wretchedness of the path that they took, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ. The word naqam means to mock or show dislike for something. And so often you'll see maybe a sister walking by with hijab and someone rolls down the window and says, hey camel lady, go back home. Or if my sister, they'll say, hey ninja lady, or whatnot. And you know how it goes. That naqam, that mocking and that hatred and that dislike, is for what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ, that they dislike them for no other reason, إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. The only reason is that they believe, أَن يُؤْمِنُوا, that they believe, بِاللَّهِ, in Allah, الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Aziz Al-Hamid. And these verse endings, a lot of times we don't pay attention to them. And it's Ghafoor Ar-Rahim or, Aziz Hakim, and we let it pass. But they have meanings to them in the context of the surah. Here, Al-Aziz, is you'll see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Almighty. Al-Aziz. And so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to crush them and destroy them for what they did, He could subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is the test of the believers, and they reach the highest levels of Jannah for what they went through. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful to take revenge for those believers who were killed. And indeed, these people were destroyed for what they did. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ. Al-Hamid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hamid, meaning the one worthy of all praise. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether a human being chooses to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not, Allah is Al-Hamid. Allah is Al-Hamid, regardless of what people say. And you may know in the philosophies and so on of this, like these European nations and whatnot, that person who wrote on a big poster board and he said God is dead, and everybody was confused because, if he wrote it, then it must be true. Nobody could refute him. What was the name of that guy? Nietzsche? I like to call him Nietzsche, right? Or Nietzsche, right? Anyways, the refutation that came after that was someone just wrote on the board that Nietzsche is dead also. Like, Nietzsche is dead. What? What's that? Sign God? I heard a different narration of the story. But basically that just because someone claims something, here in this society, a lot of people think that just because someone says something, they have a right to their opinion, oh, there must be some truth in it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that Allah azza wa jal is Al-Hamid, even though they may not praise Him, and even of all the falsehood that they ascribe to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of all praise. The kuffar of Quraysh were actually, at the time of the surah, they were doing this to the believers. Meaning that if someone believed in Mecca, they were being tortured and punished in a similar way. And we know stories of Sahaba, men and women, who were killed because of their beliefs. Of which was the first shaheed, Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Al-Aziz al-Hamid, who is this all-powerful? Who is this one worthy of all praise? The one who, to him belongs, مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. the domination of the heavens and earth. Nothing escapes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in shaheed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witnessing all of it. Bismillah, in verse 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. That indeed those who fatanu, here you see the word fitna, and I'm sure you've heard that word come up a lot, that they did a fitna or put the believers, men and women, on trial. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. And then they do not do tawbah after that. And in fact, this is even from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are given, even they are given the chance to do tawbah. And so it's not that they made the mistake and they're destroyed right there, but even they have the chance to turn back from their evil ways. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمُ. For them is the punishment of hellfire, just like they were punishing people with fire. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقُ. And to them is the punishment of burning, of the burning fire. And so this was the punishment that they were doing against the people. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing them in the same way. كَمَا تُدِينُ تُدَانُ. Which means the way that a person treats someone, they similarly will be treated in that way. And here's something that we learn, and that is that to put believers on trial is haram. And what happens sometimes is people, they try challenging other believers. They'll say, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Almost to try to corner them into a situation where they then make a label upon them and they put them into a fitna. And as one of the shuyukh was saying, when someone would come up to them and say, what's your opinion on this issue? And the shaykh would say, it's either that, you know, you already know the answer, and the fact that you're asking me is only an act of arrogance, or you're doing it to put me on trial, to do fitna to another Muslim. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, such as in this verse and other verses, that it's haram for a person to do that, to put fitna upon the believers. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are the people who are punishing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of those, the blessedness of those who are patient in this trial. And like we mentioned, that these lofty statuses aren't just given as gifts to people, but they actually have to go through the trials before they reach this. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That indeed those who believe, وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and did those good works, لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. To them are gardens. Whereas in this dunya they were punished with the burning fire, that in the hereafter, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with the paradise whose expanse is the heavens and the earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. That this is the biggest and the greatest success that anybody could ever imagine. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 12, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ بَطْشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ. That indeed the batsh, and the batsh here is to take something aggressively and without any mercy. لَشَدِيدٌ. That indeed when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extracts revenge, that revenge comes very, or the revenge comes very swiftly and very painfully and very hard. And there was a person in one of the Muslim countries who would torture believers because they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're a good Muslim. And there's so many countries that do this. And when they would punish them, and he would actually, it's a statement of, you know, a very famous statement, that when the people would call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person would say, that guard, he would say, he said, bring your Lord and I'll punish him with you. And so this person, actually this happened in Egypt, and I'm not making quotations about Egypt a lot, but this is one of those secret service type people that was doing this. Everybody in Egypt knows that soon after that, this person was seized by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way they said, he was driving down the highway, and he got into an accident with a semi-truck. A truck that was carrying poles of steel. And the truck slammed on the brakes. He went into the truck behind him, from behind. And the poles of steel ripped through the entire car and ripped through his whole body. And they said that they couldn't even get him out of the car except piece by piece. I mean, they would have to cut off a piece and pull him out. Cut off another piece and pull it. And he became an example for everyone. إِنَّ بَطْشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seizes the people, that indeed it's a very severe and intense seizure. And this word batsh also is a word given to someone who is full of power to inflict this type of aggressive seizure or pulling back. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 13, He says, إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبْدِئُ وَيُعِيدُ. And He begins, that indeed He is the one who begins the punishment, وَيُعِيدُ, and repeats the punishment. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه, he said concerning this verse, he said that the people of hellfire will be eaten up by the fire until they become burnt coals. Like we mentioned about the fire, that a person, normally they would be incinerated by fire of something like this. But they're burnt until they're like burnt coals, and they're completely destroyed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recreates their creation. And so they continuously, their break from the punishment never comes. As their bodies get burnt away, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recreates them so that they can يَذُوقُ الْعَذَابِ, so that they would taste the punishment. إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبْدِئُ وَيُعِيدُ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ.
And I know, for one, when I read this verse, coming after all this, the punishment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ. And He is the forgiving, الودود, the loving, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the person who may be caught up in something like this, they have that hope of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have the hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love if they turn back to Allah azza wa jal. When we thank Allah, or a person says alhamdulillah, that Allah azza wa jal describes him like this. As the commentary in Surah Al-Fatiha, for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that all praises to Allah, the Lord of Al-Alameen, the worlds. And so someone who owns so much, by default, in our minds, we think someone like that would be a tyrant and would be very aggressive and a punishing person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The merciful and the mercy giver, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, to reassure the person's heart that Allah Azza wa Jal is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim for those people who are tuned back to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذُلْ عَرْشِ الْمَجِيدِ. We're going to explain these characteristics in the end. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, in verse 15, ذُلْ عَرْشِ, the owner of, عَرْشِ is the throne, al-majid, the glorious. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 16, فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever He wants, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I know this is something that human beings like to say a lot. They say, I'll do whatever I want. That weak human being, they're always saying that I'll do it. It's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that does whatever He wants, azza wa jal. And the word fa'al is different than fa'il, right? You may, if you're taking some Arabic classes, you see fa'ala, fa'ala, fa'alu, taking the whole list of the fa'alas. This one, fa'al, is one who is consistently doing things, doing them often. The shadda gives us the meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing things again and again and again, and often, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the ulama mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every day there's life and death. Every day some are raised in status, and others are lowered in status. Some are enriched, they make money one day. Others have lose their wealth. Some become sick, others become healthy. And all of these things are by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Tafsir ibn Kathir, he mentions the story of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he was on his deathbed. And the people came to him and they said, هَلَ رَآكَ الطَّبِيبُ, meaning that, did the doctor see you? And he said, نَعَمْ. He said, yes, the doctor has seen me. They said, what did he say? So Abu Bakr رضي الله عنه, he replied, قَالَ إِنِّي فَعَّالٌ لِمَا أُرِيدُ. He said that I'm going to do whatever I want. And when he said that, they knew that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was talking about Allah azza wa jal, and that was the sickness that he would die from, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a description of himself, like we saw in Surah Al-Ahad, Surah Al-Ikhlas, that if we don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we can't really make that bond, and that we can't make a conclusion if we don't know who a person is. So if a person doesn't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they can't choose to, or they can't make a... Number one, in verse 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the intensity of vengeance. In verse 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ بَطْشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ. In verse 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself as being able to give life and death, or being able to reward and punish people. إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبْدِئُ وَيُعِينُ. In verse 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself as being loving and forgiving for those people who turn to His love and for His forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in verse 15 of His exalted status, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how He is glorified, azza wa jal, fil arsh al majid. And in verse 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if He decides something, there's nothing that can stop Him, fa'alun lima yurid, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever He wants. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives examples of people that He already destroyed. And I just want to mention a point here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins verse 17 as هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ. If you remember in our little activity, the khutbah, we said to start off with an arresting anecdote, correct? And we said a cliffhanger, and the cliffhanger could be a question. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins here, and these techniques that the kuffar had, you know, or they talk about now, they're techniques that a person can find in the Qur'an or in the Sunnah. From old, you know, from throughout history, people have been having these techniques. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ. Did the story, hadith al-junud, the armies or the host, the people that gathered to destroy the prophets, gathered to destroy the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ. And it's in the singular. Did these stories come to you? And so when a question comes, the person say, yes, it came to me, no, it didn't. But it's causing a person to interact with these verses and to pay attention to what's being said. هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْجُنُودِ. And so the person pays attention to what's coming up. And so the hadith al-junud, the stories of the junud, the armies that gathered to destroy the prophets, destroy the believers, and destroy the message. فِرْعَوْنَ وَثَمُودَ, verse 18, فِرْعَوْن and ثَمُود, بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي تَكْذِيبٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, nay, that these disbelievers, the reality of it, is that they're in this takdeeb, in this disbelief, and in denying the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like we said, that these verses were revealed in Mecca for the mushrikeen who were doing the same thing to the Muslims in Mecca. And indeed, the torture was very intense and people were being killed left and right for their beliefs. فَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فِي تَكْذِيبٍ وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ مُحِيطٌ. In verse 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ, and Allah is from behind them, مُحِيط, it says encompassing them or surrounding them. And like we mentioned earlier about the customs of the Arabs in warfare, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we saw the word mirsad and other verses that brought up this language that they understood. Whenever they would attack a person, or one of their techniques was to surround the people, was to surround them. And then they, once they would have them surrounded, sometimes they would, the people, in order to defend themselves, they would surround the army that was surrounding them. And they would fight like that. Or bring in another army and surround them. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no matter what they do, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always has them surrounded. وَاللَّهُ مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ مُحِيطٌ. And so when they would surround, no one would escape and everybody would be destroyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching them that just like they understand this, that for what they're doing, they are surrounded. And no one will escape and they'll all be destroyed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ هُوَ قُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ. This thing that they've been disbelieving in is a Qur'an Majid, that's a glorious recitation. فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ, inscribed in a Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. Allahu ta'ala a'lam.